It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Acts today, and we're in the second chapter, and we're going to begin with verse 22. So chapter 2, verse 22 is where we're going to begin reading in the book of Acts. So I hope that you have the opportunity to open that up, and if not, why, just please listen very carefully. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you would like to email us, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. So please, that you would take that opportunity, and I'm sure glad that you've joined us today. And let's begin this great study. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of those precious scriptures. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today. It's just such a joy to be able to come together and spend this time. I thank you, Father, for the radio ministry that we have and the opportunity to take your precious word and send it out across the airways. Thank you, Father. Just guide and lead us today, Father, and show us your way and will. We don't need to hear from me. We need to hear from you. And so please, that your sweet spirit would guide and lead us through this study. Bring folks, Father, that if they do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they will learn the saving grace that you have offered to them. They will learn that they are sinners and they're lost, and there's only one thing to do, and that is to trust you as their Savior. And so please, that they confess their sin and they come to you and then begin that wonderful walk and service, Father, please. And we ask that if, when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus, that they will seek out a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church that they can grow and where the word is proclaimed and taught, Father, please. We just ask this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this these verses of Scripture, and we've got just a little bit to finish up in verse 21, and it says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hearing the word brings faith, and it's so important. And we have some verses of Scripture here that we're going to look up, and if you've not been with us before, well, you'll realize that we are enjoying many parts of the Word of God to make it very full, and so we understand that the Scripture confirms Scripture. And so let's go back to 1 Peter, and we're going to go to the first chapter, and we're going to go to the 23rd verse, and it tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. That's a tremendous verse of Scripture, being born again. And we need to understand that we must be born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. And so you're born once, you're born physically, but you need to be born spiritually, because we have been separated from God, and we need to come back to God. And the only way we can do that is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confessing your sin to accomplish that. So, beautiful verses of Scripture. Now let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 10, There's several good verses here, and we're going to start clear up in the upper part of this chapter. And I think if we would start like at verse 5 would be a good place to start. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. You hear the word of God, that's going to stir your heart. And please listen so carefully, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the man, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There is no one that's exempt from salvation. Color, nationality, doesn't matter. The Lord, he has come to seek and to save those that are lost. And if you have not confessed your sin and called upon him, you're one of the lost. So please that you come to him. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So please, I ask you that you listen so carefully as we enjoy this study. Let's go to John. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 37. What a beautiful verse. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. You see, it's a hard thing for us to understand that we have a free choice to accept that we're a sinner and need a Savior, or to reject that. But through the foreknowledge of God, God knows who that is. He doesn't control it. We have a free will, but he does know. And whoever is coming, he will receive and he will keep. Beautiful verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. A little more familiar scripture, maybe. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, it's so wonderful to come to the Lord Jesus and to walk with him. Let's go the other direction, all the way back to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. This is the last invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come. Those words there, come, come, are so important. So please that you recognize the need to come and accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That kind of finishes verse 21 of Acts chapter 2. And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thought those were some wonderful verses of Scripture that kind of helps that and confirms that. Now we're going to come on down to verse 22. And because, see, the first was coming from Joel, and we have that that promise there, because as we have the quote, and we went back there, and as we've looked at that, and again, maybe it's good for us to take a look at it, in verse 17 of this second chapter, and even verse 16 there, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have divided that. We have spent quite a bit of time dividing that concerning some of that has come to pass and some of it has not. And the part that has come to pass is I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He has done that. He has come. He has sent His Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will come and convict your heart and show you're a sinner and show you you need the need of salvation. That's what the Word of God does. And so please that you look to the Word of God. And now we get on to verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by which the wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Men of Israel is talking about the descendants of Jacob, the Jews. That's who we're talking about here. Peter wants to prove that what has happened here at Pentecost is and was divine proof that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus has risen from the dead, that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God. And from there, and from that point then, as He promised, He sent the Holy Spirit down here. Now, we know this is the combination. We know this is what was set out to take care of. And it was a finished product here as we look at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs, as this wonderful scripture tells us. And again, the title, the introduction here, you men of Israel, listen, Jesus of Nazareth, that man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him. This all proved without question, that He is more than man, because no mortal man could perform such miracles. Nicodemus recognized that in John chapter 3. Thou art a teacher come from God. He knew He was more than just a man. He had listened to Him. He had watched Him. And those words that were proclaimed were, were words of power and words of authority. And the miracles, the healing of the blind, the lame walks, the dead were raised up. All these things were things that no man could perform. This is proof that he is God. That's the reason that he did these miracles, was to show that he was God. I have come to seek and to save those that are lost. And the reason that he healed the sick, the reason that he did these things was to prove, yes, he had mercy on them. But the point was that he would prove that he was God. He was more than man. And he came to prove that. Jesus had told them several times that these words and his power came from God. He was God, and they came through God. Let's go down to John. We got quite a bit of verses, several verses to read in the Gospel of John here. That's very important for us. The Gospel of John, John chapter 5. And so if you can turn there with me, I'd love for you to turn there. We're going to read several verses. John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing by himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge. My judgment's just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. You know, when we make a judgment, we kind of throw our 2 cents worth in. God doesn't do that. He judges rightly and righteously. He judges in a perfect way. Now, we have 2 resurrections there, but those 2 resurrections are separated by many years. And so they're both listed there, but there is a time period between them. And so, as we read these beautiful verses of Scripture and enjoyed seeing how the Father and the Son are co-equal. The Trinity has always, it has no beginning and has no end. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father committed to the Son the purpose, the work of creating the world and creating man. He committed to the Son to take on a body through a woman, not through the man, but through a woman, virgin woman. And the Son of God took on a body. So he was completely man and completely God. And through that time now, and through those things, his purpose was to come, to die for us, to save us. And he did. What a beautiful message that we have there. But I love that connection back and forth. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I hope you hear the word of God. I hope you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. So important. Back to Acts chapter 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know. You witnessed it. That's who Peter's talking to. Peter said, you saw him. Don't deny it. You were there. You were there. Let's go back now to John. John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then I love to come on down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, it's a beautiful verse of Scripture. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians. If you're able to study with us, always hold your hand in Acts chapter 2, because we're continually going back there. As well, we are all over the Scripture looking and studying. Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, and then we find Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, begin to read with verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I love that he is before all things. Don't be one of those that have believed a lie that you think that Jesus was come into existence at his birth here on earth. No, no. The Word of God tells us otherwise. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. A lot of people think God the Father created everything. No, God the Son did. That was his responsibility. And Peter just continues to remind these folks that this could not be. This could not be anyone other than the Son of God because of the miracles that he has performed. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And verse 37. John 12:37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. What a sad, sad statement. Yet they believed not on him. How about you? Have you trusted in Jesus yet? Have you believed on him? Or are you, as they are in the Gospel of John, not yet? Or like King Agrippa, thou almost persuadest me, well, you're going to burn in hell, being almost persuaded. So please that you listen. Now, when we look at this 22nd verse, and then we come on to 23, because it all joins together. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, delivered means to been surrendered into the hands of enemies. If God had not surrendered his son, they would not have been able to take him. Only because this was God's will and God's plan. Now, some people say the Jews crucified the Lord Jesus or was responsible for it. No, the Romans were. And some folks say, well, we crucified him. Well, our sin was responsible for the crucifixion. But God the Father sent his Son for that purpose. For that purpose. To face the crucifixion, to die on that cross, and then 3 days later be raised again. And 40 days after that, then he ascends back to his Father. He's the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for us. That was God's plan. That was God's plan. But as we read this, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. There's a lot of big words in there, but again, delivered means surrendered. Surrendered. I don't know if we have time. We've got a verse of scripture here, chapter 19, the Gospel of John. John 19, 10. And 11. Then said Pilate unto him, speak thou not unto me. Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee. But Jesus said, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Pilate thought he had all kinds of power, all kinds of strength. But Jesus said, no, no, you have no power. This is God the Father's will, and I am obedient to his will. So you see, my dear friend, it's so important that you trust in Jesus. So today, what are you going to do about Jesus?